and your generosity, and we really felt at home, even though it's been just, I think, a week only, right? And a friend of mine asked me, he likes to ask me when a few times I preach elsewhere, he asked me, he said, so how was the church there? And how was the ministry there? And I said, people were very attentive. You know, they didn't fall asleep, thank God. All right, so I want to get straight to it. Today I want to, today's message is kind of like a part two of last week. So I think I feel I have to take off this jacket. I'm feeling, is there like a wind blowing somewhere? From the sides, huh? Okay. All right.
You're very warm. Because of your warm welcome. Where do I put this? Yeah. Put it there in case I need it. That's a wise man. In case. But not so near. Okay. Put it behind me. All right.
So, last week, what I spoke about was the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, my shirt, what's wrong with my shirt? Okay, thank you, dear. Where was I before my wife interrupted me? Last week, I was quoting what Jesus said when he was on earth. He says, it's important to discern the signs of the times. Plural, signs of the times. God is always communicating. God's people are not always listening. Or even if they observe it, they can interpret it wrongly. All right. So at the camp, I spoke about how the devil's strategy is to distract God's people, distract us from the real thing, and look at something else, which God is not talking about. Sometimes the devil uses distortion. You heard it right, but you applied the interpretation was wrong. Sometimes it's based on your own circumstances, and you interpreted it wrong. It's like when the Lord spoke to me 6 years ago that a disruption was coming, I interpreted it wrong to think that it was only pertaining to my wife and I. Because we had a very painful year in 2016, and when he spoke 2 years later, 2018, disruptions coming, I interpreted it wrongly, thinking it was only the word for my wife and I. Little did I know that that word in 2018 was fulfilled in 2020, disruption. The one word he said, disruption, came in the form of COVID. For 2.5 years, 2020, 2021, and the half of 2022. Some people are still feeling the effects of it, 4 years on. So, distortion. Sometimes it's just our circumstances. We don't mean to be distracted. We don't mean to distort, but we're human. Can I hear an amen? That's why the Hebrew says we therefore must pay more careful attention in the last days, all right? And then during COVID, people asked me, this is just a summary of last week, you know, or just to bring us up to speed. So, what was I saying? Huh? Some people asked me during COVID, thank you, Irene. So is this the last days and about Antichrist, and this and that? So I asked the Lord, so when does the last days begin, or has it begun? And he answered me from Acts chapter 2, that the last days began on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. That means we are now living in the last of the last days. There isn't much time, all right? And then one of the things also God spoke to me in recent times since COVID is that all of this is not because God hates us, but God is asserting, he's being firm, he's asserting his government, his kingship, his lordship. He's asserting, he's showing the world and he's showing the church who is in charge. who is a real king, who really holds this universe in his hand. Not political leaders, nobody but Jesus Christ alone. Amen. He's showing, not in a boastful way, but he's showing in a real way, you better call upon the name of the Lord, because rough days are coming. All right, so that was disruption. And then I recently asked the Lord, I said, you know, it's good to have conversations with the Lord. You learn a lot when you talk to him. Don't be passive. Oh, Lord, speak to me, speak to me. He's speaking all the time. We need to listen. All right, so I said to the Lord, okay, disruption is one disruption, COVID, all right? And remember, signs, plural, and times, plural. So there will be waves of signs and seasons of things happening, all right? So I said, what's coming up next? And then he spoke to me from Luke chapter 12, which is what I'm going to preach today. All right, so who wants to know what's coming up next? Who doesn't want to know? All right, everybody wants to know. Okay, but before I go to the real few verses in Luke 12 that I really want to expound on, let me give you the backdrop, the background, all right? So we start from verse 1, and I'm not going to take a lot of time because I just don't have that time. I'd love to just go from verse to verse and all that, but I just don't have the time this morning. So I'll just mention the verses, and then you just write the point down for the first few verses, and then I will expound on where I really want to expound, all right? So, is this open or not? Forgot to open it. You got strong hands or not? Can, huh? You can. You're a strong man. Somebody said I've got a... never mind what I got. All right. So, let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. You just jot down the points. In fact, I'm not going to walk through, all right? Luke 12, 1 to 3. This is to give you the background of what Jesus is really talking about. He's talking about the last days. Luke chapter 12. All right. He said, false teachers and false teaching will be exposed. All right. Look out for false teachers, false teaching. And I don't think I have to belabor the point because I'm sure your pastors have taught very extensively on false teachers, false teaching. Verse 4 to 7, Luke 12, 4 to 7. Persecution's coming, but don't fear death. Fear the Lord. Can I hear an amen? All right. So, false teaching, and this is definitely signs of the last days, and then persecution coming. And then verse 8 to 12, stay faithful. Don't worry. And when you are put on trial and you're persecuted, the Holy Spirit will teach you and teach me what to say. Okay? On the spot. I've actually had that situation happen to me some years ago. And I was brought into a government department and grilled, you know. And cameras were on me and everything. But they tell the cameras are hidden, they told me, you know. They're hidden in the ceiling. And I went in there quite afraid because you're dealing at a governmental level, you know. But the Holy Spirit just spoke something to me and showed me what was really going on. And then from that moment, I had the boldness and the confidence, you know. I was even started to joke with my interrogators. My cheeky side came out, all right? Okay. I'll tell you more about this. Some of all these old-time stories. Some of these old guys like myself got some stories, you know. You know what I'm saying? Real stories. Okay. Persecution coming, don't fear death. Stay faithful, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. All right, verse 13 to 21, don't be covetous. Covetousness is idolatry. Amen. Don't covet. In fact, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and serve money at the same time. We use money for day-to-day living, for savings, all right, put aside for any day, but we do not serve money. Don't be covetous. I think there's a temptation when things are happening, like COVID and catastrophes and calamities happen, people start to get nervous and they start putting money away. Are you with me or not? All right, so don't be covetous. Don't worry, verse 32. So don't be covetous and try to pile up money for yourself, okay? At the same time, that's for the future, covetous, you know. But also don't worry about your daily needs. Daily needs. Covetousness is different. You don't need it, but you want more. This is daily needs, stuff that you really need to live on. So, and then he quotes the ravens, verse 24. Look at the ravens. The Father feeds them every day. Can I hear an amen? All right. Everybody say ravens. All right. Ravens. Okay. Ravens. Because I'm going somewhere with this. Say ravens one more time.
Ravens.
All right. Ravens is a smart bird. I read one time in National Geographic, ravens. They tested this with they wanted to find the smartest bird. So a branch of a tree or wooden thing across, just a plank or something, and then they had strings, you see, and then at the bottom of the string they tied a piece of meat or some bird food. Are you with me? And so every bird came along, perched themselves on that rod or whatever, and then they saw the food, okay, and they're not hummingbirds that can flutter, you know what I'm saying? So they saw that, and they pulled the string up, and then when the meat was near their mouth, that food was near their mouth, they opened their beak to eat it. But the moment they opened their beak, what happened? Dropped again. Mr. Raven does this. Every Mr. Raven does this. Mrs. Raven also. With a beak, pulls it up, uses the leg to stand on the string. See how smart. Bend down again, pull up a bit more, put the foot there. Not the foot, they call themselves what? Claw. Alright, see? Until the meat was there, and then open it. That's raven. Smart bird. Alright? And even a smart bird, God takes care of them. See that? Are you with me? Alright, okay. So you all heard ravens. That was free of charge, that story about ravens. Pete, you're Pete, right? Peter or Ian? You, behind you, that guy. Steve, I'm so sorry, I gave you the wrong name. No wonder he looked at me. And so, don't worry about your daily needs. All right, verse 33 to 40. 33 to 40. Be generous, ready to share, ready to minister. See that? So the negative side is, hey, don't worry about money. But on the other hand is, what is money for? Use it. Be generous. Okay? All right. And then verse 41 to verse 48, there's soon coming promotion or judgment, depending on how you relate to the Lord. Promotion coming is if you have taken heed from verse 1 to verse 48. If you really fear the Lord, obey the Lord, don't be covetous, don't worry about daily needs, don't be afraid of persecution, but rather you fear the Lord, promotion's coming for you. But if you really ignore all of these warnings way 2,000 years ago, then instead of promotion, you're going to face judgment. Can I hear an amen? Alright, so now let's go to verse 49. This is the real stuff that I want to talk about. But I have to say all of those other things because it's leading to what I want to say today. What I felt the Lord want me to say today. And by the way, it's the last days, the whole context. Alright, verse 49. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. God's a God of fire. And I'll talk more about the fire. All right? Different kinds of fire. So, how I wish, I long to send the fire of God down to this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. How wish, all right, it were already kindled. Longing to send fire. But I have a baptism to undergo. I have. So I have come to cast, that's his calling, not just to save people, but to send the fire. And how I wish it were already, that means not yet. But I have a baptism to undergo. So have to undergo a baptism, he's talking about the cross. Alright? It's a baptism of suffering, a baptism of pain. Okay? And rejection by men. Okay? And so how distressed I am until it is accomplished. See that? So he's talking about, oh, I wish to send the fire of God to this world, but oh, at the same time, I know I have to face the cross, I have to face rejection. And we sang some beautiful songs about his rejection and suffering on our behalf. Can I hear an amen? And so he said, how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Don't think that he was just like, hey, here's the cross, come, I'll just go on the cross. No. In fact, he prayed this prayer. He said, Father, if it were possible, let this cup of sorrow be taken away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See? And verse 51, kind of surprising verse. Do you suppose that I came, that word I mentioned at the camp a few times, many of us suppose things, but it's not the real thing. Don't be full of supposition. All right. Okay. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Ah, Francois. Division. Separation. You know? Hey, Jesus, I thought you like to gather the sheep, keep the people together. But you say you come to bring division? By the way, I preached last week, did I? At the camp or here last Sunday, I can't remember. Isaiah chapter 9, remember? A child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and of the increase of his government and the increase of peace, there will be what? No end. So with his government, there is peace. Eh? Why are you saying Jesus, right? You're saying here, do you suppose I came to bring peace on earth? No, I came to bring division. This thing got me scratching my head for a long, long time. But I'll explain to you, all right? Because I don't want you to scratch your head until bald, okay? Okay, so, verse 52. From now on, see, he's speaking prophetically. He hasn't gone to the cross yet at this point. From now on, five members in one household will be divided. Three against two, two against three. Wow. Household. Family. You see, we know there's divisions at the global level. This country doesn't like that country. Right now, there's a division. I don't read the news, but is Ukraine and Russia thing still going on? Still going on. It's been how many years already? Third year. I mean, we know that division. We know there's wars and there's rumors of wars. China and Taiwan. How many of you from Taiwan? None, okay. So, I just asked Sunila. Doesn't mean anything. But anyway, rumors of wars. You see? That's another division. See? And then you got all kinds of other kinds of division. Middle East, Hamas and Israel. I mean, we know that. But this is division at the household level. You see? Light of the house, light of the world, light of the city, and cities are divided also. And within countries, there's division. In America, it's a very divided country right now. America, right now. See? Very divided. And some people hate Trump, and some people love him to bits. You know, and the other guy. So, division. But this is household level. All right? Three against two, two against three. I know you. I got your attention. Now some of you worried. Ooh, you know, my family. All right. So, they will be divided. Jesus explained very clearly what he mean by division. Verse 53. Father against son. Father against son. And son against father. Wow. And then he says, mother against daughter, daughter against mother. And then, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Well, that one we can understand. And daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Wow, Jesus, what are you saying, man? Because he's told me, he says, division's coming. Not just this world, you've seen it already. You've just seen it already. Like recently, someone told me, UK, Labour's in, right? And Conservative Party, after how many years in power? Bye-bye, sayonara, you know. Don't want to see your face again. And there's another election coming up, I think, in France. And then there's another one, what other country is that? I can't remember, someone told me. America. All right. So, then let's go to verse 54. Let me see. 54. All right, 54. Where did I read until? 53, 54. And he was also saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, everyone say cloud, please. Cloud. Immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say it'll be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, natural phenomena, but why do you not analyze this present time? See, he was speaking about that time. There are times and there are signs. Okay? But he was speaking at that time about what's going to happen soon with him going to the cross. And then he said, verse 57, then why do you not even on your own initiative judge what's right? For while you're going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him. Settle your scores, settle your problems, settle your crimes. You know, be right with the law. And he's trying to say here, not just about the law of the land, be right with God. Can I hear an amen? Repent, get right with God. Okay? Admit your faults and your sins. And make an effort to settle with him so that he may not drag you. The judge may not drag you before the judge. The magistrate not drag you before the judge. And the judge turn you over to the officer. And the officer throw you into prison. That's talking about God's order, you know. And I say to you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent. The penalty of disobeying God. Amen. Now, I believe that from verse 49 to verse 54, which I just read, that Jesus was referencing the time in the past of Elijah's day. Elijah's day. That's why ravens. Remember, Elijah was fed by the ravens, you see. And Elijah was taken care of by a Gentile woman that God spoke to her, I'm going to send a man to your house and you feed him. Amen. And then, of course, you know that at Mount Carmel, God told Elijah, they know all this, they've heard this before from you, right? So it's not like something brand new, right? Okay. So God says, challenge the prophets of Baal to a spiritual confrontation. And then you are to build an altar to my name, the name of Jehovah. And they build an altar to Baal, their God. And the God that answers by fire, that is a real God. Can I hear amen? And so when the prophets of Baal built an altar to Baal, and they danced around the whole day and cut themselves and gashed themselves and gave blood offerings, their own blood, the Bible says nobody listened, nobody paid attention. You see, so much so that Elijah had a cheeky side. He said, oh, maybe your God is on a break. Or maybe he's relieving himself. You know what I'm saying? And then he made fun. So prophets also sometimes can go a funny side. Amen. They can be excused. But not make fun of the church or God, but make fun of the enemy. Amen. It's okay to make fun of Satan. Amen. But make sure you're covered by the blood, because he can tuck you back. All right. Alright, so it happened to me one time. That's another story, another day. So I was a cocky fella, you know. But anyway, I got into trouble. So, he's referencing that time. And you see, all the Jews, when they hear these trigger words, they know what he's talking about. Because everybody reveres Elijah. Even Jesus, they say, oh, he's Elijah, come back. You see what I'm saying? And they just love Elijah to bits and they love Moses to bits. See? Because both are mighty prophets, mighty signs and wonders. I mean, Elijah called on fire from heaven, you know. What's his name? Moses lifted the rod. All of this at God's say-so, not themselves. You know what I'm saying? And the sea parted. And then the Israelites crossed and then the sea closed. And drowned the whole Egyptian army, just wiped out like that. Drowned. All right. That was some tsunami, man, that one. No need earthquake one. Just one rod. So of course, when the Jewish people listen, and they're taught from young these stories, they know where who he's talking about, you see? He don't need to explain like I have to explain. Okay. So, I want to come now to explain this division of the house. Alright? So the point that he said all of that, and then he said some things, and immediately they know he's talking about Elijah's day. So we need to pick up the story from Elijah's day. See, God moves in patterns. And if you understand the patterns, you understand God. Satan also has his patterns. And I spoke at the camp. If you know his patterns, then you can smell him from a mile away. Are you with me? All right. So let me go. And before I go to 1 Kings, let me just tell you this fire. Let's go back to, he says, how I long to send this fire. All right. And I wish it was kindled. He was talking about the fire of Pentecost. The fire of approval. Write that down if you're taking notes. The fire of approval. When God approves of something, he sends fire down to consume the sacrifice. So he consumed the sacrifice that Elijah offered up. Are you with me? And the living sacrifices, 120 believers gathered together, the Lord approves and sends the fire down. Like Solomon's day also, fire comes down. David's altar, fire comes down. Meaning, I am pleased with you. I'm pleased with your sacrifice. Well done. Fire of approval. But there's also a fire of division. See, that same fire, and if you don't respond correctly, then it divides you. Remember on the day of Pentecost, some people say, what's happening? What's happening? And then later they got saved after Peter explained, and then they got saved. Are you with me? But there were some mockers that said, no lah, these people are just drunk lah. Then Peter says, they are not drunk as you suppose. But this is what was prophesied by Joel 700 years ago, that in the last days God will send forth his. But anyway, there were mockers. And just now, part of the song we sang was mockers. Last days, you will see many mockers. Mockers come and mock, all right? And one of my relatives is backslidden and started mocking, and I warned him. I said, don't you mock God. And he got real silent. Say, you will lose when you try to lawan with God. You will lose. I mean, like, have a challenge God. Don't ever challenge God. All right. So where was I? So that same fire that shows approval at Elijah's altar, the same fire that on the day of Pentecost was also a fire that separated. So the prophets of Baal who did not say, the Lord, he's God, the Lord, he's God. They didn't repent. What happened? They were taken down to the brook something. Kidron. And they were slaughtered there. Elijah killed them with the sword. Nowadays we don't kill people, but the sword of the Spirit deals with people. Amen. And so the mockers in the day of Pentecost, and then Elijah's day, the prophets of Baal didn't bow down, didn't say the Lord is God. They died, they perished. Which is my third point. It's a fire of approval, the fire of separation, dividing what's true and false, and it's a consuming fire that kills. And on the day of Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, there's a couple that lied to the Holy Spirit that they gave a very nice offering to the church. You know what I'm saying? Peter said this, nobody forced you to give an offering. And when you give an offering, you can give whatever you like. There's liberty. But you sold the property and you lied not only to men, you lied not only to the church, you lied to the Holy Spirit that you gave all. And all he said that, Peter never killed him. Peter just said, you lied. And the fellow dropped dead. And the wife of Pharaoh comes to church 3 hours late. Where was she? I don't know. Maybe doing her hair. You know, and she came to church, and then by this time, the husband's already been buried. The ushers are busy that day. You know what I'm saying? You ushers got it easy. You just collect money. They collect dead bodies from the floor. Took him out, buried him, and came back. They came back. And then just in time, they came back. So I don't know how long they took, but they came back. And then here comes Sapphira, looking all nice and pretty. And then Peter again confronts her and says, hey, you know, why did you collaborate and conspire with your husband to lie? And then she dropped dead. And those same ushers that came back, I say ushers, I don't know, they were maybe deacons. So came back and picked up her body and buried. You know what I'm saying? And a friend of mine, he lives in Adelaide, and he's got a funny side, you know. So here's the first funeral, you know, what's his name? Ananias, you know, coming. And people say, oh my, there's another funeral. Who died? Oh, that guy, he belongs to the church. Oh, did he die of cancer? Did he die of a heart attack? No, he died in church. Huh? When did he die? Offering time he died. Immediately people, oh, don't play. Don't play the fool with this punch. Are you winning? All the mockers, right, start sitting up. 3 hours later, another funeral comes by. And people are busybodies, you know what I'm saying? Oh, another one. Who died? Oh, that guy's wife. Oh, she died. Why? She was so heartbroken. She had a shock. She went into trauma. No. She didn't die of that. Then what did she die of? Well, she died in church also, like the husband. And when? Because the apostle spoke to her. He had a kingdom conversation where she dropped dead. It says that everybody started to respect the church. Can I hear an amen? They started to respect the church. Right now, there's no respect for the church because, sad to say, I'm part of the church also. We have been misbehaving. We haven't been as pure as we should be. We have been excusing ourselves. And so the mockers are having a field day laughing at our pastors, laughing at televangelists, laughing at all kinds of churches. Can I hear an amen? Sad. I really believe God is going to bring the fire of separation, division, purification to His church. So people out there can see, don't fool around with this God. He is the real God. When is it coming? I don't know. But I have already told you the divisions already happening. The wars, the rumors of wars. What about divisions in the church? Yes, it's been happening. Anglican church split. Some Anglicans, especially in Africa, I heard, they've left the Anglican church because of same-sex marriage. Southern Baptist, or was it the Methodist? The Methodist. Same-sex marriage, split. Are you with me? Now, here's the thing. Do not be distracted and do not be confused by Satan. People think it's a gender thing. It's a love thing. It's a gender thing. No, it's not. It's a God's word thing. You either fear God or don't fear God. Do not be sidetracked by the issues. Can I hear an amen? Huh? Oh, it's a climate change thing. It's a gender thing. It's a same-sex thing. All those are not the main issue. The main issue is that you have done this to God. That's the main issue. Because His Word says, there's no such thing. There's male, female. That's it. Are you with me? So don't be confused, you students in church, church in school and all that. Oh, it's a gender thing, or it's a weather thing, and it's a climate change thing, and it's this thing. The devil wants you so confused until you do not know, is that male, female, is it them or they or what? Are you with me or not? And so much so that nonsense has come into the church also. Man, a pastor's daughter said to me in another country, not this country, I don't go to the church anymore. I say, why? Because they don't address climate change issues. I was thinking, you're a pastor's daughter. Good night. They don't address climate change issues. I didn't hear the pastor preach on climate change one time. If he preached on the cross, that's good enough. Amen. Don't get sucked into, I told you already, distraction, distortion, deception. That's Satan's playground. You with me? I'm quite strong this. You with her? Don't get distracted. Don't be deceived. And all people say, amen. Amen. All right, let's go now to 1 Kings. Yeah. To explain this thing, division thing, in your house. 3 against 2. Father against son, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and all that stuff, all right? Where am I now? All right. So there's division right now, you see, in the world, countries, and then there are blocks now. So that Russia and China, buddy-buddy with North Korea, and then you've got Europe and America, buddy-buddy. See, and I pray to God Australia doesn't get sucked into that whole thing. Let them fight, but you guys still be the country that loves God. The land of the Holy Spirit, amen. Don't get sucked into, oh, we side with this fella, side with that fella. You only hurt yourself. Amen. No political speech from this pulpit. All right. Enough said. So in the 1 Kings 16, verse what? Verse 8. 1 Kings 16. Martin, you okay there? You're okay, huh? Because you look, Bubbles not beside you, so there's something missing. Jimmy, okay? Hey, okay, huh? Wife treating you nice, huh? Yeah. Your son, okay? He's very Christ-like, you know, there at the camp, he was very Christ-like. He actually played Christ. Those of you not in the camp, you ask him, he was very Christ-like. All right. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, it's very interesting. Throughout chapter 16, it keeps mentioning. Now, here in chapter 16, let me tell you up front. Israel is divided. The 10 tribes. Terribly divided. Civil war. But Judah had a good king. Peace. No division. Blessing. Fire of approval. Amen. Alright. So, it's interesting. When I was reading 1 Kings 16, every now and then it said, in the 26th year of King Asa, king of Judah, then this happened in Israel. And then in the what year of Asa, this thing happened in, you know, Judah was okay, everything. And then what do you keep referencing? Comparison. Good king, peace. Everyone's happy. Bad king, everybody said. Are you with me? That's why Paul said, pray for your government. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Do you pray for your government regularly? Huh? Pray for your government. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We're not against government. Pray for your government. Can I hear amen? Alright. So, 26 years of King Asa Judah, Elah the son of Baasha became king over Israel at Tirzah. He reigned 2 years. That's a very short reign for a king. Okay. His servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots. This is the, I don't know, the artillery division. Alright? Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him. Oh, conspiracy. What do you call this thing? Rebellion. You know? Who's the chief rebellious person in the kingdom of God? Lucifer. See, I will arise. I will. All right. So he conspired against him. Now he was at Tirzah. This was the king. All right. What's his name? Elah, the son of Baasha. And by the way, they're a whole bunch of bad kings. All right. Okay. And it just gets worse and worse. It's just a downward spiral. Okay. So he was at Tirzah drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household at Tirzah. Tirzah was the capital before they moved the capital to Samaria. Okay, Tirzah was the capital of That's where the kings lived, the kings of Israel. Am I talking too fast for you? I want to make sure that I cover all these things before 12. Okay. Then Zimri went in and struck him and put him to death in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah. See, they keep mentioning Judah. Because, why? Comparison. Judah was one tribe that was blessed, because they had a good king. And this other one was cursed, because they had bad kings. All right. And became king in his place. So he killed a fellow in cold blood, because he was drunk. Okay. So it came about, when he became king, as soon as he sat on the throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave a single male, neither of his relatives nor his friends. He killed a whole bunch. Bloodthirsty. Kill one, not enough, kill a whole bunch. All right. Make sure there's no competition. All right. Thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha according to the word of the Lord which he spoke against Baasha through Jehu the prophet. And then all the sins of Baasha, verse 13, and the sins of Elah his son, which they sinned, and they made Israel sin. See, when the leaders sin, it encourages everybody below to rebel and sin against God. Are you with me? All right. Provoking the Lord to anger, the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Verse 14. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, okay, just skip that part. He died. Now in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days at Tirzah. So the fellow he killed reigned 2 years. He took over, he killed the fellow, and now he reigned 7 days. Is that a short reign or a long reign? 1 week. 1 week. All right. Now the people were camped at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. All right. There was a war going on at that time. So this Zimri took advantage of some instability, a time of instability, a time of crisis, a time of war. There's a time of instability since the disruption 4 years ago. Are you with me? And it's still not hunky-dory. Are you with me? Or in Australia, what do you use? You don't say hunky-dory. When everything's cool, everything is okay. You have a term, I forgot what. Instability. Beware of times of instability. Because the devil likes that. When people are confused, distracted, dismayed, distressed, he swoops in. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? So the people were camped at the war zone. They heard it said, Zimri has conspired, the news got to the war front, and has also struck down the king. Therefore, all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. So Zimri was in charge of half the artillery unit. Omri was the general over the whole army. Are you with me? So who do you think the people sided with? Omri. They said, we're not going to follow that fella. We're going to follow Omri. He's the general. And you see this also played out till today. People don't like this particular president or prime minister. Then there's a military what? Coup. This is what happened here. Military coup. You thought you read it in Google. Actually, before Google ever came, it's already here now. Are you with me or not? Huh? Military coup. All right, let's move on. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon and besieged Tirzah. So now they left the battlefront and now they're going to come and take the capital, Tirzah, which was before it moved to Samaria. When Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the citadel of the king's house. This is kind of like the palace. And he burned the king's house over himself with fire and he died. He just self-destructed. He burned the whole palace down. He knew he could not win against Omri. Are you with me? That's why he only reigned 7 days. And what a way to go. He burned himself to death. And all the whoever else was in the palace, he burned it all down. You're going to see divisions in this world. You're going to see very short rules and reigns. Are you with me? Short-term governments. In fact, you've seen already, right? Don't last very long. It's not like in the old days, oh, this fellow, election after election, he win. Oh, he was 10 years prime minister, 20 years prime minister. Those days are gone bye-bye. If you can make it 1 year already, yeah, very good already. I mean, UK also had a bunch of very short term. New Zealand also. This lady that was prime minister during COVID, and then after that, she said, I'm burnt out, I got no more in the tank. Can you remember that story now, Francois? Short. And then they do some very pretty desperate things also. In anger, frustration. See? You didn't see it first in Google. You saw it first here. Amen. The heart of man. Alright, let me move on. Because of his sins which he sinned. Alright, let me make it. I'm going to skip that part. Verse 21. Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Israel now is divided. Alright? And half the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and the other half followed Omri. Hey, who is this Tibni guy? Came out from nowhere. How do I know? I don't know. He came out from nowhere. New political party, new leader. He surfaced. I thought a few verses up, they said, oh, let's make the general the new king. No, there's another one. See, people either like your face or don't like your face. If they don't like your face, they go and find another leader. And this leader is not found by God or given by God. He's just like chosen by men. Be very careful. Alright, so this Tibni comes and the country, the 10 tribes are divided half division. Okay? A house divided will not stand, it will fall. Alright, let's move on. The people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni, and Tibni died and Omri became king. So that was another civil war. I mean, war after war, fight. No peace, no prosperity. And not because of factions, not because of same-sex marriage, and all those issues are not the main thing. The main thing is let God be God. Can I hear an amen? It's either you follow God's word or you don't follow God's word. All those other issues are just issues to confuse the whole thing. Are you with me? Alright? If I don't get anything, I must drive this point across. It is God's word or nothing. Alright. So, Omri became king. And Omri, guess who is his son? His son is a guy called Ahab. So you see the roots of Ahab? You see the roots? Betrayal, backstabbing, murder, bloodshed, conspiracy. There's the roots. Nothing good. And then he says he's the worst of the bunch. He is the worst of the bunch. So look at verse 29. Worse than all those other guys before him. Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel in the 38th year of Asa. You see, Asa, always good. And Ahab the son of Omri, verse 13, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him, more than all the other kings. I think you thought he's bad. I mean, he's the worst of the bunch. Then he says in verse 31, it's like a trivial thing. He married what? Jezebel. The daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. Everybody say Sidonians, please. Sidonians. Alright. And then verse 34 is a very strange thing that for a long time I didn't understand. That's why you got to read the whole of the chapters before and after and you get an understanding. Alright. And look at verse 34. In his days, the days of Ahab, the worst king of the bunch. In his days, Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho and laid his foundations with the loss of Abraham, his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Joshua, the son of what? Nun. You see, during Joshua's time, which is hundreds of years before, remember God told him to destroy Jericho, utterly destroy, flatten it? And then God made him prophesy. The man who tries to rebuild this pile of rocks, there's going to be death in his family. And you see what's happened here. I didn't understand for some time. You're talking about the division in the country, fighting, generals, conspiracy. And suddenly you talk about this one guy, and it's only one verse only. What's this got to do with the whole division in the country? Well, when there's division up there, there's division in the house. Father against son, son against father. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother. Are you with me? The division is not brought by men, the division is brought by God. Just like disruption brought by God. Amen. It's a judgment. See, I gave a prophetic word that anybody dares to rebuild this city. By the way, he didn't just build a house. He's a developer. You read that carefully. He tried to redevelop Jericho. He's a developer. Develop a city. Not like the one God called to redevelop Jerusalem called Nehemiah. This one, not called by God. Instigated by Satan. Instigated by rebellious kings. See, the kings all rebel all the way down. That's why it's important to pray for good government. Can I hear an amen? You tell yourself, what's that got to do? The fellas in Canberra, what has that got to do with everything? Because if they pass unjust laws, you're going to be affected. If they say same sex is okay, then you'll be affected. Are you with me? If they're godly people, they pass godly laws, then you'll be affected positively. You'll be blessed. It's all about what God says. That's it. Sometimes people don't think like that. They don't connect the dots. What's that got to do? What Canberra does? What they talk in the United Nations? What they talk? Nothing to do with me. Everything to do with you. It affects your household. And this is what happened. And this guy, you know, if the firstborn die, you dare to stop, right? You know, oh, wow, I violated the prophecy. Oh, God, I'm sorry. No. He finished the city. He laid the foundation. The first boy died. And he made sure he completed the city. He put in the gates. He installed the doors. And then the younger son died. Now, this is the kind of rebellion God hates. I warned you already, hundreds of years ago. You still do it. Then I give another warning. Your son dies, you know, the older son. No, you still want to finish it. We got to be very careful, folks. I know I'm talking to the church, not talking to sinners. Sinners don't understand the word of God. You make sure, I make sure, we really fear the Lord in this house, in this church. Amen. It affects your family. Don't think it doesn't affect your family. Oh, it's just a sermon only. It affects your family and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren if you live long enough. Positively or negatively, it affects. You're going to have a happy old age or you're going to be a tearful, sorrowful old age when you see your kids become rebellious and do all sorts of evil. My wife just told me yesterday, some nice-looking guy in Seattle, America, you know, B&B, he's the owner of a house. And this couple came in, and also such a lovely man, you know, they must have texted their friends, such a lovely, warm owner, B&B. You know, the fella hacked them to death. They put their bodies in suitcases and threw on the beach. You can't judge by faces, huh? Satan is very sly. Oh, he's a friendly guy. He carries the King James Bible. Can quote verses. Satan can quote verses better than us. He was there, man, before he fell. Can I move on? So Tibni came from nowhere. Now God has his man. Elijah came from nowhere. James says he's a man of like emotions as us. Came from nowhere. But he's God's chosen man. No conspiracy there. God just picks up a guy and says, you follow me. Fisherman, you follow me. You follow me. Amen. So, He was of the settlers of Gilead and said to Ahab, God sent him to Ahab, "The Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand. Surely there will be neither dew nor rain these 3 years except by my word." You know, you go to any desert, you'll find dew in the morning. But this word is so strong. No dew, no rain. I mean, it's like dry, dry, dry. This is how I read my Bible. I take a long time to read. Don't rush through. No dew, no rain, except by my word. By the way, it also says in James, he fervently prayed that it will not rain. He fervently. I always mistook and thought that he fervently prayed that the rain will come back. No, no, you read James carefully. He fervently prayed that there will be no rain. Can we pray judgment? Yes, we can. Yes, we can pray judgment. You say, oh, what kind of gospel is that? What kind of word is that? He fervently prayed there will be no rain. Then he fervently prayed there will be rain after God has dealt with Israel. Are you with me? Alright. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "Go away from here, turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan." Now, God is not judging him. God wants to protect him. So don't worry about persecution. Don't worry about Antichrist. God will hide you. Can I hear an amen? And feed you. And it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Remember I asked you to say ravens? This is the first time you see air-flown food. Air-flown food. Bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. What about lunch? I think God is saying 2 meals a day is enough. Amen? And I told you, when he sent the ravens, Elijah knew this is God. Because remember I gave you that story about the ravens? Ravens do not deliver food. They whack the food. Are you with me or not? Gerald, are you listening? Ravens don't nicely come and bring food to you. They see the food, they said, "Let's take care of number one." You know what I'm saying? They follow. You remember the story with the string thing I told you? They're not stupid. But because they're controlled by God, and it's a shame on us that birds and even the fish that swallowed Jonah are more obedient to the great creator than the higher creation, which is us. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Shame on you." Turn to the other neighbor, "Shame on myself." They don't deliver food, man. And then he knew it's not an accident that they accidentally dropped the food from their beak. You know what I'm saying? Because they came in the morning, evening, in a few days. I mean, Elijah was saying, "That was a nice word I gave. I'm not suffering. I got water to drink. I got bread. I got carbohydrate. I got protein. And I got shade in this ravine. It's not hot." He was, "Wow, this is so nice. Margaret River." You know? And it happened after a while. The brook dried up, verse 7, because there was no rain in the land. No rain, no dew. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon." Remember I made you say Sidonians a bit time? Say, "Okay, I got another plan for you. Now I'm going to hide you again, but you know where I'm going to hide you? I'm going to hide you in the land of the Sidonians." See? Ahab married a Sidonian princess. He said, "I'm going to hide you in enemy territory. I'm going to hide you in plain sight." Oh, you think, see, Antichrist come, I run as far away from him as possible. God has a way to hide you in the enemy stronghold. "Oh, but, you know, Jezebel's, you know, and she's bloodthirsty. Which, you want me to go to her people and stay in one of those towns, Zarephath? You made a mistake, God." God said, "No, no mistake. I hide you in plain sight." Amen. He went to the gate of the city. He didn't go surreptitiously at night. He just went there, daytime. You know, there are times that you read in the gospel, people wanted to kill Jesus and he just walked through the crowd. You remember that? Huh? He just walked through the crowd. I shared at the camp where a demon-possessed fellow tried to punch me up close and he just missed. Because God knows how to protect his people, and all the people say. So, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I have commanded a widow, Sidonian, Jezebel's people. She's not an Israelite. In other words, God spoke to a sinner, a Gentile, and said, I'm sending you a guy and I want you to feed him. And I preached this in a church in Singapore once. I said, you know, God speaks to sinners. And the people went, since when God speaks to sinners? He only speaks to us Christians. Yeah. Sometimes he has to speak to sinners whether Christians are not listening. She listened because they're all suffering, remember? No food, no. And so, I said, God speaks to sinners. And they said, you could hear, like, people shocked. And they said, you don't believe that? God speaks to sinners. If you don't believe that, then how did you get saved? You were a sinner, right? And one day you heard God and you responded. Are you with me? This lady responded. I'm sending you a guy, then you're going to feed him. Alright? So, he arose and went to Zarephath and came to the gate of the city. A widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. That's why I knew it's daytime. She's gathering sticks for firewood. Nobody gathers sticks at night. Are you with me? So she went, and then she was, and he asked for some water. Now you say, oh, that's a simple thing. You ask for water. Okay, how many bottles you want? But remember, how long has it been without water? No water, no dew. This lady really obeyed God. She was going to get the water for him. Can I hear amen? Water is so precious. More precious than gold, I believe, and silver. Because you can't live on gold and silver. You can't drink gold and silver. She went to get the water. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. And I need some food also. You know, you got to see this scene. He's been in Margaret River getting fat. And she's at home in Sidon getting thin. Are you with me or not? It's an irony that this plump guy comes and asks for water. You got to picture this. This is how I read my Bible. Alright, so she said, as the Lord your God, not my God. See? He's not yet my God. As the Lord your God lives. Alright? I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl, a little oil in the jar, and behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. This is our last meal. You're asking for our last meal. We're going to eat this. We've been conserving water, conserving food, Jesus, rationing it, you know. Remember what Jesus said? Do not worry about what you're going to what? Remember I read it just now, Luke 12? And then remember I said, don't be covetous. Remember that? And we read also, be generous. Be hospitable. Can I hear? You remember that? Yeah, he's talking about this. See? So, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. Now you got to understand this. Not only is he asking for the ridiculous water, ridiculous. Now he's asking for the last meal. You know how ridiculous that is? You're supposed to be a man of God. And this is the way you treat me. You despise us, is it? We're dogs, is it? I'm obligated to take care of you, is it? And then here, worse still, he says, you, all these sticks, firewood, you go back, cook it and bring it out to me. I mean, hello. You look like you've been in Margaret River for a while, eating well. You know, you're a man. And you want me to go home with this firewood and I'm thin, undernourished, and go home and cook my last meal and come and serve your highness? Hello? Can you see this? It's so ridiculous. It's like Jesus saying, you know, pour the water, you know what I'm saying? In the water pots that's for washing feet. I mean, God sometimes asks you to do ridiculous things. But if it's God, please do it. Julie, please do it. Even if Your Highness asks for it, that's beside you. For His sake. Are you with me or not? I mean, what's wrong with you? You're a man. Jesus at the well, John 4. Huh? Give me a drink. See, this thing plays out so many times. What's wrong with you? Can't you fetch the water yourself? I must serve you. And by the way, you Jew, why are you talking to me? You see, we're talking about Jesus is Lord. Can I hear an amen? The issue is not about water, about birds. The issue is, who says do it? If God says do it, just do it. Don't get this gender thing, but you're Jew, and you are you ill-treating me, and this is a gender thing? Huh? Is it a race thing? No, it's a God thing. It's either God or it's not God. Then he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor the jar of... And then they ate for many days. I'm going to save time. They ate for many days. All the neighborhood was starving for many days. This house, because she obeyed God, she invited the prophet of God, and the presence of God was in that house, and was blessed. Right in Jezebel's hometown. Blessed. So don't be afraid of Antichrist, and don't make him bigger. Read the final thing. He's thrown into the lake of fire with Satan. Are you with me? Read the Bible and look at the positive side, not the negative. That's why these stories are there, to give examples to us. Then verse 17, came about after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness so severe, he died. He didn't die of starvation, he probably died of overeating, which is what people die of nowadays. Are you with me or not? Cholesterol, high blood pressure, that is it. Okay. She said, you came to my house to divide my house. You came to divide my house. No, I didn't come to divide your house. I came to bless your house. Yes, the story we read just now, Hiel, the Bethelite, his house was divided. He lost his two sons. Are you with me? But this house, no. Sometimes it looks like, oh, so she had second thoughts. At first, when they were eating for many days, oh, you're a man of God. Hallelujah. You came to my house blessed. We're eating for many days. Then the son dies. You came, hoi seng o. Hai si lang. You know? You see how fickle people can be? Turn to your neighbor and say, how fickle you can be? What do I have to do with you, man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. Give me your son. He took her from the bosom, and you know the rest of the story. He prayed for the boy, and then the boy came back to life. Can I hear an amen? Ah. Division at the global level. Russia. Ukraine. Division at a national level. Israel, Hamas. Division at the household level. The division brought by God. God allowed it. Because He is showing who is Lord. Not this country, not that country. Not your bombs, not your nuclear power. No, no, no. The ultimate power. One little bug called COVID can shut the whole world out. Who is Lord? He is Lord. Time of division is coming. What's a division for? To separate the genuine believer from the fake. The fair weather believer. Can I hear amen? The one who just worries about having lots of money. The one who worries about having the biggest car, biggest house, biggest everything. Worries about everything, even daily food. Worry, 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 worry. Which is sin. Which is sin. So he's coming to bring division. Why? to show the whole world, to show the church who is genuine and who is false. The day that Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in church, everyone saw who's right, who's wrong. When we sing hallelujah, praise God, everything, can't tell. And then when the word of God comes, a prophetic word comes, it brings the division clear as day. Everybody can see. Amen. So I'm going to close and say, search your heart. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart. Because really, I felt the Lord said, after disruption, this season is division. And we're seeing it global level, national level, household level, even in Christian homes. Pray for your backslidden children, but pray for yourself also. Don't assume, oh, my this child is backslidden, but the other two are still in church. Pray that all of you that are still attending church fear the Lord greatly. Can I hear amen? Church doesn't save you. Church doesn't purify you. Only Jesus Christ and His Word and His Holy Spirit sanctifies you. Church doesn't do that. Let's stand up. Altar call? If this message, not if, actually, I believe God spoken very clearly today. God spoken clearly. And you know you attend.